Hey, welcome to the show. This is Matthew Peterson, and this is my podcast, my show. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about two topics and two topics only. One, I'm going to riff a little bit about media platforms in a PG-rated way. Don't worry, there's no swearing. I just mean I'm going to reveal a little bit, talk about it on a level that I hope is helpful. And then that's the big debate right now because of, you know, Crowder and Daily Wire and all this stuff. It's in people's minds. They're seeing the need for new media platforms. Talk a little bit about that. And then second, I talk about terraforming the Earth. I think it could be good, actually. What? What did he say? Well, let's move on with the show and find out. First, I want to get into new media platforms and just lay some things out on the table. Near and dear topic to myself over the last 2 years, really over a lot more. I've spoken to many people who all have dreams and ideas about building new media platforms. And all of this is back in everyone's mind's eye because of the Steven Crowder Daily Wire debate. My wife was chiding me for being too much for the man when it came to the Daily Wire debate the other day, and I disagree. I mean, I think as the business stands now, Jeremy is right, but we need to talk more about this because she's not wrong. I mean, Crowder is right that new paths, new platforms are needed that aren't beholden to money coming from the enemy. And this is not news, folks. I mean, people should have realized this, you know, 10 years ago, more than that. And it's just like every other sector. So within any media, you have large corporations that, of course, are not on your side. They're making things that make clear that they hate you. If you're right-leaning or against the wokeness. And there's a general push of cultural decline, showing evil is good and good is evil, pretending that's what's ugly is beautiful and what's beautiful is ugly. And this has been going on for decades. There's no secret where Hollywood's allegiances lie. And you could see the decay over time if you watch. It's almost, again, almost like an equation. If you watch what was media get worse and worse and worse in many ways. I mean, obviously there's some cycles and whatnot, some ups and downs, but generally you see the decline of our culture reflected in media and also caused by media, because again, this is what actually educates most of us most of the time. Formal education is maybe a couple years or some classes or what have you. But throughout your course of your whole life, human beings today are looking at screens and ingesting whatever comes off the screen, looking at the images flickering on the walls of the cave, as Plato might say. So what do we do about this? What do we do about the fact that the large media corporations are against us? Well, it's the same as in every other sector, right? Universities, same way. The large universities are against, our values, as we say. So what the key is that you will need alternative institutions to be built in order to pressure or change any of this. So it may be true that you could, retake Disney. I don't think it's true, but let's pretend. Maybe what would the path look like if that was even possible? Well, it would mean that you'd have to put intense pressure on Disney, not just, politically, not just losing stock, losing value like they have this last year, alternatives that start to eat their lunch are needed. That's what's needed in every sector, and anyone who's done that. Who actually has built an alternative right now, whether it's in any, what doesn't matter the sector, whether it's in education, whether it's any part of consumer goods, whether it's, look at Black Rifle, regardless of its problems, why has it exploded in popularity? Look at Daily Wire. Anyone who has built an alternative institution, who just went out there and did it and ignored all the people who said, no, you should work within the system, is now being blessed, richly blessed. They're being rewarded because people are realizing in mass that, you know, I have to make some decisions here, and Disney is really in my face. They don't care. And so I'm going to cancel my subscription there. And out of even just solidarity, even if at first I don't even watch the content, I'm going to subscribe to, you know, Daily Wire or one of these. So think about this. What is required in order to be successful, you know, a new media platform? Well, the cartoonish way to look at it, and, you know, it makes sense, is people say, well, why can't there be a conservative Amazon? You know, why can't there be a conservative Netflix? And quote unquote conservative Netflix, which actually sounds kind of awful to me, but conservative Netflix is the mirage, the illusion, right? The thing that, you know, oh, we're going to get that and then everything will be fine. And why can't someone just make that? And of course, the problem is that this is a brutal business, and it's intimately connected and kept alive by the fact that it's influential and confers prestige and influence on society. But it's a brutal business in itself, media is. And it's very difficult to make anything good. And there's a lot of different, it's complicated. There's a lot of facets to it, yada, yada. So the idea that in any business, you can just make the conservative version of X and X is a big, powerful, successful company is how to make you raise your eyebrows. You know, oh yeah, we'll just make the conservative. Yeah, you know how long it took to create Amazon? How many incredible challenges had to be solved, you know, from the famous issue of logistics and shipping on out. So the idea that you can just replicate that, but for the right, I think has some validity in certain businesses, certain sectors. But the first thing you'd have to realize is if you're going to do the conservative version of X, you're basically saying right away, it's not going to be as good as the other one. Right? Because it's a version of something. It's a copy of something that what is preeminently successful and succeeded where countless others failed. So you're making an imitation product right off the bat instead of just making something good that serves the moment. And that you're assuming somehow you're going to find that talent and you're going to be able to imitate and be successful, you know, within whatever sector of the economy you're talking about. So there's a lot of, you know, the cartoon version is nice. It's a nice way to say, oh, yeah, well, what if there's a conservative Netflix? What does that even mean, though? And when you start breaking it down, things get a little, you know, dicey, or you find that there's rampant disagreement. So let me lay out three things that I think would probably be necessary for a version of media platform that worked, given where we're at now and given the need for it. But before I do that, let's reiterate why this is a problem. It's a problem because in order to make money, even as an independent minded person, right, in order for Daily Wire to make money, in order to make the big bucks, the easiest way to do that is to do that through the existing technologies, the existing platforms that people use to access media. That is, you're going to use YouTube because there's billions of people on YouTube. You're going to use Facebook because no matter what you think or people like to say, there's still a ton of people on Facebook accessing content and engaging with it on Facebook. You're going to, you're going to have a Twitter account, right? I mean, so if you really want to go for the top, you want to create the big dog, you're going to have to go where the eyeballs are, and you're going to have to go to the easiest channels to where the eyeballs are. Now, is it in Daily Wire's interest to support Rumble as an alternative platform that's free? Yes, absolutely. And I think they do. The problem is, of course, that Rumble does not have the amount of people on it that YouTube does. And so it's a chicken and egg problem, right? You want to make better content, but to make better content and more independent content, you got to be off the grid so your money is not coming from people who hate you. So if, you know, to Crowder's point, if you're not focused on that problem in an intense way and you're getting lackadaisical about just taking millions of dollars off of YouTube, et cetera, then there is a problem there. And that's going to warp your focus. It's going to warp your content ultimately. And there's no doubt that that kind of thing is going on. The issue I have was more that kind of stuff is always going on. You're always going to be constrained in what you can say based on, you know, the man, where the advertising dollars are coming from. and this sort of thing. There's always constraints, but you know, powerful people are going to get you in some way if you say things that are controversial, and controversial things come with a cost and a penalty in any society. So like, I am 150% in on solving the problem of creating an alternative technological universe and media universe. That's what New Founding exists in many ways to help push forward. But, you know, we need to realize like there's never a perfect world in which, you know, you just get to say whatever you want as creator, and there's no downsides to it. There's always a cost. There's always trade-offs. So in our situation, though, it's pretty bad. Because you don't have, you need advertising dollars as well, right? In order to make money. And then that creates the money that funds the media we need that is truly independent, that's doing the kind of stuff that they would never do because of their political beliefs, and the kind of stuff that could be very popular with people. So you got to take risk in order to get there. Look at Tucker, right, as well. I mean, you know, most watched show, most popular news show or one of the, most popular news shows, like number two or number one, back and forth. And Tucker Carlson Tonight, they don't have the big advertisers, right? Advertising around that show, which is insane, but it's true. So this is how they get you. So how do you get outside of that? And when you look at what you need to do to get outside of that, you kind of need every part of an entire system. And it's very hard to get your mind around, you know, how to do it. Now, regular people are kind of like, well, just go out and be independent like Steven Crowder. Like, okay, you know, that's good if you have the audience already, which you received by using the big social media platforms, let's be honest. That's how, you know, he became popular. But, you know, YouTube demonetized him and everything else, and he's, you know, a brave independent voice. And he can go out and do his own thing. The question that's great. The question is, can he create a new network out of that, though? Because that is much, 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 much harder than just, you know, having your own show, running your own shop. That is the nut that everyone wants to crack. And everyone, you know, has, I tweeted about this the other day, everyone has their ideas about this. They all think their idea is original, and they all think that, if only, whatever, they had the funding, or if only blah, 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 they could do it. And they would create the media platform that became the competitor to, all the streaming outlets that you see out there today. Maybe. I have had these conversations with a lot of people. I've seen a lot of decks. I've seen a lot of proposals. Nothing has really grabbed me as, oh, this is obviously the winner. No one knows what this looks like, what the media entity platform of the future looks like. No one knows what that looks like. And we won't until one of these ideas. I mean, some of us go make something that's successful. So I actually think the other side of this, not the platform, but producing good stuff, is what's probably most people should be working on now. The other side of the platform problem is just having content on the platform that's new and that's good. And I think that, you know, because you have the Daily Wire out there and the Blaze out there and others, I think focusing on making, we need a lot of people making interesting things and proposing it to these companies as they grow, and to Crowder, right? I mean, to people, anyone out there who has an audience. And the content will ultimately define and draw people to a network or platform that ends up working. But if you don't know, which we don't, what the new platform will look like or how it'll operate, what it'll be like, then, you know, I think making, if you're a creator or a creative type, focusing on making good stuff, banding together with people to do that in a practical, realistic way. Just making like one thing that's short or that's possible, that's doable within a budget, I think you will be rewarded in this environment. So the good news is I do think that people producing good stuff, I know so many people who've been in a holding pattern and, have suffered through no one caring. I think that's changing. I do think that, you got to wait a little while, but if you keep pressing and you start making some decent things and establish a track record of baby steps, you will be rewarded in the next 5 years, because there is going to be a flood of eyeballs and ultimately dollars you know, going to people who are going to make stuff that doesn't suck. And I do think that has changed. Like, the environment is much different. In the same way that, you know, same thing with the other sectors. So it's the equivalent of, you know, before people might complain about Disney, but they weren't going to cancel. Now they might actually cancel. Before you might say, well, you know, I can't believe how woke these, you know, how politically correct these Ivy Leagues are, but I'm still going to send my boy to Harvard. Now you might actually send them to Hillsdale, and you might actually not send a check to your alma mater. You might send that somewhere else, to one of these outlying schools. That this has, in other words, things have shifted and changed so that it should reward people who are able to produce things that are interesting and that are actually good, that are outside the box of what's allowed by our totalitarian, you know, regime of both, you know, fascists, really, of both private companies and the public government, you know, public servants colluding together to control the narrative. So let that be said. I think that's a positive note right now. And, you know, as these demand grows, the demand is bigger than what's there. As demand grows for alternative forms of content, the platform providers that do exist or the influencers that do exist will have to, they will be looking for more content. I think that's the good news. Okay, the platform problem. Problem with the platform is, you know, easy to say, hard to do. You know, let's look at, I'm going to skip to, what would be boring is to talk about all the, I think, the downsides people don't think about. So I'm just going to skip to, I think, what would be required or necessary. And there's three elements to that. I think I've mentioned this on the show before. And again, this comes from mostly observation, but observation over the course of 10 years and talking to people from, you know, various parts of this and looking at the problem in a pretty intense way. I think that the first thing is that you're going to need stuff that people recognize. That means that you will need, in order to get attention, and in an older aging population in America, you're going to need stuff they recognize that's not just totally new. The only alternative would be to develop an ecosystem that's making a ton of stuff, like a lot more stuff than's being made right now that's good. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. Again, production of new things that are good will grow. But right now, unless, you know, you're just talking about people yakking about politics, and that's what these are, influencer networks, The Blaze, Daily Wire, I mean, Glenn Beck sets forth, plants a flag, and other people talk about politics around him, influencer network. And then you got, he was the OG, the first one. He's first in many things. And then you have Daily Wire, you know, Ben Shapiro destroys this person on YouTube, becomes popular, plants a flag, and becomes the symbol of another network. And you build it up with a bunch of influencers around them. Now, what the Daily Wire has done to help things along and to prove the thesis is just to make other kinds of content. And those other kinds of content have been popular and have helped subscriptions and everything else. People are hungry for those other kinds of content. That's the next step. That's the problem we're trying to solve. So the problem is, though, in order for me to pay for that and consider it even remotely close to Netflix, I mean, I think consumers understand it's not going to be anything like that in the beginning. You're not going to have the money to rent all that stuff. I'm going to need, never mind produce it yourself, I'm going to need something, you know, some content that is older that I recognize. And I think, you know, I think that's possible. Biggest question mark is, you know, what would that look like? You'd want to worry about branding, but there's a lot of good old wholesome TV that you can even say, like, this deserves to be looked at again. You don't have to buy, you know, the rights entirely to all this stuff. You're basically renting it out. For a set period of time, people are used to that. Now, what would that look like? What would the price point be to have enough where it's like at least you got a bunch of stuff to show people the kind of thing this will be if you subscribe and help it grow? I do think that's necessary just in terms of, and you'd have to do it kind of like early Amazon. Like, you'd be looking for all kinds of weird stuff that falls through the cracks. And the problem is in this environment that the big dogs have hosed everything up, and increasingly they're just locking it away, you know, with their own streaming networks, and more people are going to those. And you live in a world where all of a sudden you go to Paramount Plus, you go to Peacock, and you get all this stuff right from the different networks. So So the question here is, what crumbs from the table can you put together that make sense that people don't want, or these, you know, woke companies don't want, that, you know, establish a kind of brand that's probably a little Americana, and give you a base of content? Like, what's the price point there where that starts to look attractive? You know, what's the cost? That has to be part of it, though, because it shows the kind of thing you're going to become, in my opinion. And it's not just new stuff. There's some other reasons for this, but we'll leave that aside. So you know, what if you pick up some old stuff? And then you need it to be not Netflix for the right. You need it to be more like Amazon Prime, because you want people to be able to sell their stuff there. And ultimately, it become a competitor to Amazon, where people of like mind can go on and they can sell their stuff without getting hosed by the man. So you'd give attractive deals to anyone who's, you know, selling content, where you're giving a bigger percentage of what they get than they would from, you know, they get from Amazon or whoever else. So you're letting people set up shop and sell their stuff. That I think has to be part of it for the right. You really want to give these people an opportunity, and you want to create that marketplace. Of course, that's also a way that if it works and everyone uses it, you make lots of money. And we desperately need that marketplace. So that's another angle here. And then lastly, you need new stuff that matters. The way that the subscription networks work now is basically like, you know, they have some special piece of content, or even a literal special, right? And they advertise it, and people subscribe because of this big new thing. So what is a woman? Daily Wire. People are going to subscribe because they want to see that content. And so there is strategically showing people stuff that just they're like, wow, I can't believe that exists. This seems, you know, it fills them with delight in the deepest sense. Like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I really want to watch this. So much so that they subscribe. I should be subscribing to Daily Wire anyway, right? I mean, they're on my side. And this, you know, what is a woman? I want to watch. I can cancel my subscription later. And so you sign up. But it has to have stuff that, like we're talking about, moves the ball forward a little farther than it has been moved so far. And it, you know, a little goes a long way here. You don't have to break the bank to make stuff in this environment that gets people really excited and they can't believe that you made it. That needs to be visionary. It needs to show the potential of where this whole thing could go, of what's possible. It needs to blow people's minds in terms of, wow, I didn't know that men could make such things. I didn't realize that this was possible. And you know, I think reality is the way to go there, but there's lots of routes. So you need to have that kind of stuff that just people are, wow, this is new, but it's not just new. It's not the same old crap. It's not just people talking about politics. This looks amazing and I really want to watch it. And so those are the three elements, right? New stuff that's incredibly attractive, that's not just yakking about politics. A marketplace, place where people can sell things. So you're welcoming everyone in, and you're giving them such a good deal. They're like, well, why not set up a little shop here? They made it easy for me to sell my stuff to another group of people. And then also some old stuff that you rent out with the rights to, and it kind of leavens the bread, right? So I think those three things make a lot of sense, right? And then it's about, well, what's the actual network look like, or platform look like? And there you can get really fancy with the ways in which probably the entire structure of the business is changing and will change because of digital technology and where people are going with digital networks. There's some interesting, like there's a lot of blockchain proposals, at least a few that are pretty solid out there. People want to create something where everyone can crowdfund, everyone can, you know, fund the projects they like in mass. So you got millions of people on a platform, conceivably, right? They can just pay a little bit here, a little bit there, and actually fund the show. The Chosen is the obvious model for this. What if you just did that all the time? And you're using crypto, and it was totally free, but you did it. You know, there's all kinds of people, all kinds of proposals out there. So, you know, I think those three themes probably will address some of the problems to at least the low bar, you know, the lowest of the high bar, the lowest the bar can go to how you do this successfully. But look, until someone does it, I don't know, you know. So Daily Wire is a case in point. There's probably a lot of things they could do or should do to become more and more independent, but they are doing it. They are successful. You know, we need a lot more like them operating this environment to create the new platform that we need. But that is a monumental task. And everyone knows that the opportunity is there now. So spare me, you know, everyone knows that this opportunity is there. The question is, how do you get there? How do you do it? Until someone does it, you know, it's all just talk. And these things are easy to talk about, easy to say, hard to do. So I do think that we're going to see some amazing things happen in the next few years. And we need them to happen because otherwise it's a national security issue as far as I'm concerned. It's like national cultural security issue. If we don't do this, if we don't solve this problem, you know, the totalitarian state that is already nascent will become dominant. And there's an argument to be made. We're already there. It's already over. But there's still a lot of freedom to build these things. And if they were successful and you had people at the top who didn't bow down to the powers that be, were willing to go to jail or whatever, you know, who knows what could happen. But you're not going to win culturally or politically unless you have these free media platforms. I can't emphasize that enough. Unless we solve this problem, which is not easy, which is difficult, we will not win. You know, America will roll under. You can't do this without the media and comms you need. We're too fractured. And even if we do roll under some kind of totalitarian regime, in the meantime, we need to unite with the communications we need. And let's make it clear and let them put the CEO and the board of that organization that actually starts speaking the truth in jail. Let's see it happen. But the route forward requires the media. This is very true for what's needed in finance or the commercial aspect too. You just can't have a movement, right? You can't have ESG or social justice, for instance, without media to promulgate it, to credential it, to make it prestigious, to make it to give to show and not tell what it is, to sell it. You know, to accomplish what they've accomplished, they absolutely needed media. To reverse it, you need media. It's what shapes hearts and minds. And so it's absolutely essential that we resolve this problem. But among those who are aware of it, right, we need to band together more, have some difficult discussions, and then you're going to need investors willing to take shots, you know. And I think that's increasingly the case, and more and more competent teams put together to try to solve the problem. Those people are out there, and they're working on it, but I guess I'm here to say it's just as serious as, say, Steven Crowder and others are saying. The problem, Tim Pool, very interesting thoughts he's had on this. It's just as serious. They understand the stakes, I believe, and the stakes are enormous. It's, you know, civilization in the balance. But, you know, it's not going to be easy, as I think Poole knows well. It's not clear what the path forward is. It's not as simple as flipping a switch or just doing X, Y, and Z. You have to have a good team of people at the top. You have to understand the landscape, and you have to be experimenting moving forward because no one knows what the route for victory is. People will say that they do. We all think we do. But the truth is, no one actually knows until someone actually does it. Hey, I want to talk about something that that I thought about within my own little grubby soul for a long time. And I was pleasantly surprised, as I often am, here at the office in New Founding in Dallas when some colleagues were talking about the same thing and saying things I hadn't heard anyone say out loud or think because I can't hear people's thoughts. Surprising as it might be, I can't. I just hadn't heard people say this sort of thing before, and I had thought it myself. I had been a thunking it for a while. I'd thunk it for years. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, human beings' relationship to the environment. I hate that word. It's a hollow word, you know, for people who are so, it's supposed to be so hippie-ish, right? It's really not. It's a cold word that refers to all of nature as simply like a skin suit that is geared to humans, right? Environment. Whose environment? Human beings' environment. And it's like a superficial word. Nature is a much better word. Nature goes back to the idea that there is a principle of motion, of growth, change, death, everything else within nature, right? That we don't really, if we didn't exist, it would still be going around. We're not causal of. And there's causality in nature. Life in the right conditions springs forth and grows into, higher and higher different forms. What's man's relationship to that? What are human beings? What's our relationship to nature? Deep question. Important question. But here's a big problem on the right, and the right is terrible about this and is embarrassing, just embarrassing. Cringe over the face of the deep. Man is clearly a steward of something beyond himself. So if we're on Earth, human beings on Earth are conscious. They can see what's going on. They're not operating just by instinct. They can reason about things. And they are stewards of something that is beyond their full understanding. We do not fully understand nature. We don't understand the really, really small things. We don't understand the really, really big things we see in the cosmos. 80% of the universe is dark matter, and that's a word for basically us not knowing what the hell is going on with 80% of the universe and trying to make our equations stick together. We don't know a hell of a lot. Science doesn't know a hell of a lot. It progresses, but this is beyond us. We've learned, a lot as time has gone on collectively. If we can keep that knowledge together the human race, we can progress in some way. We have progressed. We regress too. We go back and forth with our knowledge of nature and what we do with that. But we are by default, even if you didn't agree with the Book of Genesis, or even know anything about it, like most college freshmen, you would say we are by default sort of in charge of nature in this Earth, at least. But we don't, we're stewards, right? We don't have the power of God, whether he exists or not. We don't have that kind of power or causality over nature. It does what it does, but we can learn about it, and we can channel its power to do certain things for the sake of the good of us and the rest of nature. The classic power of the doctor is not some magical power to come in and fix someone. You fix someone by letting nature take its course and giving it the proper channel, right? So the classic example is a broken bone. My 12-year-old son had a brutal broken bone, broken leg and from football. And it will heal just fine. And the reason is because they set it right. You set it back and nature takes its course and heals itself. You allow nature to take its course. But if a human being doesn't do that, if we don't set the bone, the consequences can be horrendous. And gardening, like say something outside of us, is like this as well. For thousands of years, human beings have interacted with nature in a way that has changed the DNA, the very structure of various plants throughout the world. Corn, tomatoes, these are things that over time, because of human beings tending them, never mind animals, right, like cattle, the physical makeup of human beings who tended cattle and started drinking milk is different than other human beings. And cattle that have been domesticated over the course of time are different animals, right? Corn and tomatoes, but if you look at what they originally were, what they were naturally, quote unquote, these have been messed with for a very long time by human beings. So they've become something different. That's before you even start doing the more severe intervention that modern science is doing when it comes to messing with these things. What I'm saying is we've always messed with nature. The landscapes that you see across the world, this is something very fascinating to me, are often caused by human beings. I was once in a wood, Lewis and Tolkien would say, in a wood. We just used to say back home, the woods. We were going to go out in the woods. And we were out in the woods, or I can't remember if I was there with my brothers and cousins. We would just traipse around outside, do more than touch grass. We would just like wander around the woods. And that was what we did, especially at my cousin's house, which was surrounded by woods. And so we traipse around. And I think I was there with a few other people, but I remember it as if I was by myself because I saw this all at once and it was quiet. And there were a bunch of pine trees and it was a pine forest. And that was very cool because pine forest, it covers a lot of the light. There's a lot of them together, so it's easy to walk through. And, you got the pine needles all over the place and it smells good. Anyway, we're walking through and it changes drastically, right? This little patch of forest. And I don't know, I must have been like 10, 11, 12 or something. And I'm looking around and all of a sudden, what appeared to be a natural forest came into focus. And I could see that these trees were planted in lines, right? And there were lines all over the place. And they're fairly large, pine trees. I imagine this was, a 1930s, let's get everyone to work during the Great Depression kind of project. But who knows? I mean, but so with the upshot was all of a sudden you could see this is not a forest, right? These trees were all planted by human beings. They're all in set lines. And this is true in even more dramatic ways. Because more hidden throughout the world, right? You have Plains Indians, people setting fire on purpose to the land, altering it in various ways. You have in the Amazon, tended gardens, and you have human beings changing the flow of water. You have human beings really throughout the globe affecting the landscape in ways that often are indirect but yet profound. You can't tell me it's not natural for human beings to mess with nature. The extreme version of modern environmentalism is justly called by Wendell Berry, who I don't always agree with. I think he's overrated in some ways, but also underrated in others. The terrarium view of nature, right? Which is the modern elite view. You put nature in a terrarium, you don't interact with it. The reality is more complicated than that. The right stewardship is not to put your talents under the ground as the foolish guy did in scripture and just say, hey, here, I kept this God for you. I didn't do anything to it. The right stewardship is to, be fruitful and multiply, to make things better for everybody. But that's a difficult task because we don't fully understand nature. So we have to be humble about it. So the other extreme, right, from just putting the terrarium view of nature where you just say, we're going to close it all off in glass and no one's going to live there or interact with it. Like they want to do in California with the state parks. They used to want everyone to go out in nature and now they don't, right? That became a lefty thing. Actually, there are some people who will be able to live in the terrarium. That's very beautiful. Those people are incredibly wealthy. They will own the land or have large houses adjacent to the state land, right? That no one else will be able to build on. So it's not the terrarium view usually allows for some exceptions who are at the top. Everyone else will live in small pods and eat the cricket mush out of bowls, right? Staring into the screen if the screen isn't jacked all the way into their head. But the wealthy will live out with the rest of nature, right? So that's the one extreme. The other extreme is we can do whatever we want to nature. And, big corporations are always correct, right? Sort of the like 90s conservatism. No, big corporations always have the common good in mind. And, we don't need to worry about nature at all. We just do whatever we want to it. Or some of the biotech guys who are sort of like, no, all these experiments are good. Anything we can experiment with to make human beings live longer is great. And pay no attention to the horrific experiments going on behind the curtain. Of course, the arrogance, it's almost comical given our ignorance. The arrogance that we can do whatever we want with nature, we shall be as gods, is one extreme. And on the other extreme is we just close it all off and do nothing. And both of those are unrealistic. Both of those are idiotic. And both of those can be satanic in their effect and in the way in which people think about them. So those are clearly errors, right? So what's the right way to think about this? The right way to think about this, though, is pro-tech, and it's pro-human, and it's pro-nature. It's that we have no choice but to try to figure nature out, to figure out how best to live with it, and make the world a better place, like physically, right? And so there's a problem on the right with trads, of which, you know, I am one, I suppose, in many ways, who kind of look at this like all modernity is wrong, all just wants to have power over nature, and we should just go back to some random time when of like things were better when we were farming in this particular way hundreds of years ago. Okay, well, maybe, but you still were the farmers for hundreds of years before that, for millennia before that, were still slowly developing and genetically modifying, right, crops by growing them a certain way, and animals by domesticating them a certain way. And you still had technology and tools then as well that affected everything else. In other words, you don't get out of this problem of how to steward nature and how to use technology and how to alter nature itself in a way that benefits both human beings and their environment, let's say. Let's use their word. So there is a sense in which even human beings themselves, right? And I know people recoil against this on the right, but it's so pathetic when they do it, that human beings themselves do evolve, like they change over time on the basis of their behavior over time. And certain behaviors make them better, and certain behaviors make them worse. And that's just obvious. Everyone knows this. So the wrong approach to like the longevity people and everything else is, no one will live forever. And if you did live forever, it would be terrible. And yada, yada, yada. I mean, of course, according to the Bible, who knows what it means, there were some people who lived a very long time in Genesis, right? I mean, if you believe that that's literal in there, you got to believe there were some people who lived a really long time back in the day, whatever that means. They have these people living, you know, hundreds of years. Is it wrong to want to live long and healthy? No. And look, you're not going to live eternally, right? So that would be crazy to think, but you could live longer and that'd be okay, right? Where's the line where it becomes a problem? Of course you'd want people to be healthy and live longer and not die of cancer or, you know, some other disease, a corruption of the body. Death is evil. Of course you want people to live long. So medicine is fine. So where's the line where you say, you know what, though, this life extension stuff is now kind of crazy? Christians need to do a better job thinking about this in a way that's more interesting. So all this is leading up to one idea that I have and that I was overjoyed to find some other people around here also have, and they encouraged me to talk about it publicly. And I think one of our number may be writing about it at some point. And that is terraforming, you know, changing the environment, changing the landscape in a way that is beneficial, that makes sense. So what do I mean by this? If you look back at what we know about, geology and climate, and there's all this focus on climate over the last few decades, climate change. I find it fascinating that the climate has changed so much, and we've learned quite a bit about why, right? I mean, forget the whole debate about human beings now, everything like that. We've learned quite a bit, and we have a lot of interesting theories about why there are ice ages, why there are these drastic changes in climate over time on Earth. Why in the world would it be crazy to think that we couldn't affect the climate for the good? If we can affect it for the bad, certainly you'd have to admit that. But this is maybe why the right doesn't want to admit it. Why aren't we thinking about enormous terraforming projects on Earth When we know that changing, say, the flow of water connecting one ocean to another drastically changes the climate throughout the entire world for good or ill. Now, obviously, you'd have to be incredibly humble about such projects, because if they went wrong, they could go terribly wrong. But I think it is absolutely asinine to say that we can't affect any of this at all, when we know that, you know, certain things like if all of a sudden the Panama Canal got a bunch bigger, a bunch larger, it would drastically, you know, affect climate. If you close certain parts of the world off from the flow of water, it would drastically affect climate. Never mind thinking about just the flow of water in general to make things more pleasant, like, you know, creating large megastructures, you know, whether it's lakes or, you know, or rivers, et cetera, that beautify, that help things. You think about the Amazon and the way in which it apparently was incredible gardens throughout it, because the soil there is very thin and poor. It's there's so much water rushing through. You had this super earth that people made, and people love to talk about this online. I mean, let's say, you don't have to believe me in what I'm saying about the Amazon, by the way. The point is that people have done this for millennia. So why aren't we intentional about using our knowledge of science to terraform Earth in a careful way, but a way that leads towards the good? Here's the problem I have. We already do this in microcosm all the time, right? And when it goes wrong, it goes terribly wrong, and we create things like a dust bowl. But when it goes right, we are able to produce food that feeds millions of people. And so again, I implore you, once again, I am begging you, either extreme on the environmental thing is gonna lead you astray. We don't want to just close off nature and close nature off to ourselves and leave it. That's ridiculous. It's not even possible. And on the other end of it, we don't just say we can do whatever we want to nature. In between, we have to be stewards. And if you look at the principles of what we've learned, just in terms of simple gardening, we alter the landscape, and we can alter it for good or alter it for evil. There should be an entire science at, you know, a based Red State University that's thinking about terraforming Earth in the right way. And of course, this would also, and I know the response, oh, I don't care about space, and I don't care about Elon, I don't care about Mars. Okay, I guess so. I don't know why. Like, it's not quite rational, other than, well, we could never do that. Like, right, we could never do X, Y, and Z. We could never do all kinds of things. So if you want to stick your head in the sand, that's fine. Rest of us talking about reality will think, yes, and if we learned the principles of terraforming here, we could terraform elsewhere. Now, I say to you, there's nothing wrong with people who think about, you know, terraforming the landscape. You know, beware of those who want to terraform the human and your soul. But you don't get around this by sticking your head in the sand and saying all this is bad. All technological progress is bad. A lot of it is. A lot of it is. And the people who are proposing it are full of arrogance. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they don't know. And a lot of them just want to do evil. I completely agree with that. But the response to this, how to use technology, has to be something that is much more thoughtful than what you see. So the idea of, like, bringing back megafauna, right? The idea of bringing back certain animals, that's not crazy. It's not just, it wouldn't be all bad like Jurassic Park. Oh, if you mess with nature. I mean, of course we're going to mess with nature. That's what we do. We already do it with dogs, right? I mean, what are we doing all throughout the world? Think about the principle of the garden. Think about all the things that go into gardening, and then gardening, you know, at larger and larger levels. Are there problems with that? Yes, potentially. Is there good that comes out of that? Yes, potentially. We need to think about this in a scientific way, but that's ordered by a proper understanding of the human and nature itself. And the problem, ladies and gentlemen, that I'd submit to you is that we don't have the visionary people, the intellectuals, really, who would understand what human nature is or what nature is. So the way we think about it is paltry, it's hollow, it's thin, and you get these right and left debates that suck. In any event, go forth and terraform the earth. let's make it a big, beautiful garden. I have no problems with that in principle. That's the kind of thing that we don't get in front of. Things would go very, very badly for us. Imagine what you could do with a base Red State University on this. Just bring in all the outlying science. But it would have to be ordered by, a theological vision, a philosophical vision of the human person and what nature is. So we're not going to solve that problem today. We need to move on, and I will stop there. But I hope I gave you a little bit to think about. Oh, I could go on. I could go on. Maybe I'll let myself go on this topic a little bit more in future episodes. Until then, you have a great day. Hey, thanks for listening today. If you could go and give us a review, that'd be very good wherever you get your podcasts. And don't take a second and say, hey, I like this. Let us know. You want me to talk about anything else? Get a hold of me on Twitter at DOCMJP, DocMJP on Twitter. That would be great. And then as far as New Founding itself, I want you to check out the New Founding Talent Network, newfounding.com/talent. If you haven't, there are a lot of people now signing up, and we are looking for more and more businesses. They come to us every day who are looking to hire people who are thinking the same way, of like mind about excellence and building. I encourage you to, that if that's something you're interested in, to check it out. Also, newfounding.com, the guide is growing. Go to align.newfounding.com. There's a lot of lifestyle content there that's very interesting. The newsletters have, I don't know, it's over 300,000 people now subscribe to this content, products and services from people who don't hate you. That's align.newfounding.com. So I encourage you to check those things out if you haven't and you're listening. We could use your help as we grow, and your comments are always valuable. This show, I'm just gratified at all the amazing people who listen, and it's wonderful when you reach out. So thanks a lot. You all have a great day.